families can come together and worship God. To me, that I think that we are to worship and praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every day. It shouldn't just be one time or one time a year. But I do wish you all a happy holiday every day of your life. And reminds me of a little story I heard. If you want to turn to, before I get into the sermon, the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 26, we'll start. But heard about this. I may have told this before, and it came to mind this morning that people are out scurrying around, and they're spending lots of money on buying gifts and stuff. And reminded me of a story I heard about this woman who lost her credit card. And so she come home and told her husband, said, "Well, I've lost my credit card, and I can't find it." And so anyway, she went to call the credit place, and she called the police, and so a few days later, the police had called her and said, "Hey, we have found your wife's credit. We caught the guy that had your wife's credit card." And he said, "Well," he said, "okay, that's good." And then he said, "Well, we're going to return that to you." And they had gotten a couple of bills in that where he had charged on his wife's credit card, And he said, "Well, that's all right. Just let him keep it, because it's a lot cheaper for him to keep it than it is my wife." So that's a little story this morning about how sometimes we get carried away with our credit cards and spending money. But anyway, this morning, if you have the word of the Lord, you turn to Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, verse 26, and reading and giving you some input here on what is the end of Moses' life. And Moses had, they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and now he's coming to the end of his life. And I always think about this, too, when Moses, I preached a couple of sermons maybe a year or so ago about the mantle and passing down the mantle. We need to be about our Father's business, about passing down the mantle from the church, passing the mantle down to our families and preaching the Word of God. And so Moses is coming to the end of his life, and he's handing over the authority to Caleb. And so Caleb is going to lead God's people in the wilderness. And but they're fixing to come out of the wilderness and go over into the land of milk and honey. And God's promise, now he didn't let Moses go over into the land of milk and honey. But God's promise was that the younger generation would inherit the land of milk and honey. So God, he says there's a great wealth in this land. There's a land that there's a land of abundance, and you're to go over there and you're to possess this land. And so as we read, I want to just talk about this morning and give you a little bit of input and about how good God is, and what Moses in his life, how God led and guided him and directed him to lead the Israelites. And so Moses writes, and he says, "There is none likened unto the God of Jerusalem, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God," and I've got this underlined because this morning I want to talk about the eternal God. "The eternal God is thy refuge." The eternal God is our refuge. "And underneath are his everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountains of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is likened unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thine excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thy shall tread upon their high places. This is God's promise to those who are going over into the land of milk and honey. And as we think about a great God, and we still believe today that we're partaking of that what God has even blessed those with. I believe He's blessing us here today in the land of milk and honey. Well, you know, some preachers try to preach that this is heaven and immortal glory, but this is not heaven and immortal glory, because this is the land that where all the Ammonites and all the otherites, they possessed it. And he says, you're going to conquer and you're going to overcome these people that live in the land now, and you will possess this land. And so there were some that didn't believe that, and he told them, he said, well, as Moses sent them over into the land to spy it out, and they went over into the land, and there were some that came back and said, there are giants in the land, and we can't possess that land because they are more powerful than we are. Well, a lot of times, there's still giants in this land. Now, I'm not talking about huge people like they were talking about, because they were talking about giants like Goliath. But we still have giants in this land that we have to fight and we have to war against to keep what we have spiritually and naturally, I believe. And so we by the help of God, that they went over and they possessed that land. Now, there was Caleb and his group that came back, and they brought back a staff with grapes on it. And it says that this one bunch of grapes must have been a huge bunch of grapes, and they were big. Somebody said they're as big as baseballs, but I don't know how big they were. But there was a big bunch of grapes. And it took a staff to carry it back. It took two men on each end of a pole, and they had it strung across the pole. That's a pretty good size bunch of grapes when it takes two men to carry it back. Of course, they brought back some other stuff, I figure, too. But anyway, they brought back the goods and showed them to those who hadn't been over into that land yet. But as Moses spoke about to these his people, God's people, Moses, now at the end of his journey and his life, addresses the Israelites, and he gives the glory to God. There is none like him, he says. There is none like unto the God of Jerusalem. He's given all the honor and glory, all. He says God has all power. God has all authority. God will protect you as you go over in to possess this land. And he reminds them that they are not to worship the heathen gods, as these people who possessed this land were worshipper of idols and heathen gods. He says the gods of the heathens have not, they're not rideth upon the heavens. He says, I don't recognize these gods. I don't recognize these people because they are not of God. They're worshiping false gods. And so this is a warning even to us in this day and time that we are not to get involved with things that are false gods, or worship things in our life more than we do God. And, you know, that's what we do a lot of times. We get so wound up and so involved in things in our lives, and we forget about God in our lives. And so we're not to worship these things. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. It didn't say money is the root of all evil, but it says the love of money is the root of all evil. And we all have a time with that, don't we? Even me, I have a time with that because, God, it says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And he was talking to Job when he said that, and when he took everything that Job had in his life, and the devil did this, the devil took it away from him, and the first thing that he worked on with Job in his life was his material things. And when we start losing our material things, we get all out of whack, don't we? Well, I never will forget when I lost my job, and I worked in the mills for 19 and a half years and had no idea that I was fixing to lose my job. And I had prayed so much that the Lord would take me out away, and I probably told this before, take me out of that heathen bunch of people that I was working with who didn't love God, who cursed God, and I had to sit and listen to that. Well, he just closed the plant. And so I had to go home and tell my wife, I said, well, I've lost my job. They're closing the plant. Well, first thing she does is said, well, what in the world are we going to do? Well, you have to have your sights and your faith upon the Lord, because he says that he will take care of us. Moses says underneath are his everlasting arms. So he's going to watch over us and take care of us. You know what? We just kindly settled down and started in doing things, and I had a business, and so we threw all of our efforts into that and asked God to help us, and God helped us, and we never done that one meal. Matter of fact, we was a lot better off. A lot better off. God blessed us in what our hands were doing. God blessed us in the vision that we had, and God is still blessing us today. Because God is with us. God is with you. So don't you worry and don't you fret. God is going to take care of you if you've got your heart and mind upon God. If you love the Lord, God is going to take care of you. It might not be like you like it. You know that, don't you, brother? Yeah, we all know that. I'm sure Brother Dave, he knows that. I'm sure that that when Brother Dave was out of work, I'm sure that he prayed to God. I'm sure he looked to the Lord. But still, by nature, we want to say, well, what in the world am I going to do? How am I going to make it? What am I going to do? But again, we just need to trust in the Lord and look to him, because underneath are his everlasting arms. You know, these people here who was going over into the land of milk and honey, you know, they had to take God's word. Some of them didn't. I'm sure some of them were in doubt, because you had the people who went over and searched out the land, who came back and says there's giants in the land and we can't possess it. We can't overcome those. There's cities with high walls and there's giants, and so we can't overcome this land because it's just too much for us. But old Caleb and his group came back with a different attitude and with all the things. And they said, look here, what the Lord's blessed us to come back with. But anyway, so here we find Moses in this time of his life. He says, that you're not to fall into worshiping false gods. You're not to fall into these things and start worshiping material things more than you do God. It's all right to like material things in your life. It's all right to have material things in your life. But anything or any time you put something before you do God in your life, then that God don't like that. That God does not like anything before him in your life. We are to worship God with our whole heart. as the psalmist David says, to worship God with your whole heart. And so we want to try to keep that in mind and try to keep the Lord our first love and try to keep the Lord with us. He is with us all the time, but sometimes it seems like He's 93 million miles away, doesn't it? When you try to walk by yourself or you try to do things on your own, I'll guarantee you, you're going to mess it up. You're going to get in trouble. But when we have God on our side, He says we can do all things through Jesus Christ our Lord. I've seen times in my life that I didn't see any way out. Didn't see any way to tackle some of the problems in life. But you know what? I went in, just get in my prayer closet and ask God's help in my life. And I still have to do that every day of my life. To get in my prayer closet and ask God's help in my life, because I know without Him in my life and without Him leading and guiding, directing me in my life, if I'm dependent upon anything else, if I'm depending upon the world, if I'm depending upon man, then I'm going to be defeated. Because you cannot be defeated if you're underneath God's everlasting arms. Oh, we might, you know, I'm not saying that you're not going to have trials and troubles and tribulations in your life, because you will. But again, by the grace of God, you go through all of the things of life. You go through these things and you come out praising God. You know, we came here this morning. I hope we came here wanting to receive something this morning, receive the Word of God. I hope we come here in spirit to hear the Word of God. I remember the man that Peter and John, as they went up, I believe it's in the third chapter of Acts, when Peter and John went up and they had set this man there who had been crippled from life, and he was sitting there, and they set him there. It says, set him there daily, and he was expecting to receive something. Did you come this morning expecting to receive something? Listen, if you just receive the word of the Lord in your heart, you'll go home happy. That's enough to fill your cup up. As David said, my cup runneth over. So they set the man there daily, and he was expecting to receive something. Now, he wasn't expecting to receive what he received, because he was looking for silver and gold. And so they told him, they said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man was healed. And it says he rose up. And it says that he praised God. And he jumped for joy. He received that of the Lord. And he was happy in his life. He says, and Jesus told him, he says, you go tell that city, wherever he was from, I forget where he's from, he says, tell them what good things has happened to you. Tell them what the Lord has done for you. And so he went happily on his way. And I'm sure that he did what God told him to do. Have you told anyone what the Lord has done for you? I love to witness to people every day of my life and tell them how good the Lord has been to me and what He's done for me. I'm here. I'm alive. God has saved me. Saved me by grace. He saved me for heaven and immortal glory, but He saved me from death too for a time. When the doctors gave me no chance to live and said, you've got 6 to 8 months to live and you might as well get your priorities, to get your business straightened out. And my priority was to serve the Lord. I went through a time of questioning God, why me? Why me? You know, I went through that. But after about a couple of days and I seen how the Lord was working with me, I opened my eyes and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner and wretch that I am. That was 18 years ago. 18 years ago, and I'm still here. So, by the grace of God, now by the grace of God, Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm here by the grace of God. It wasn't my time to die, or I'd have been dead. The doctors don't know everything. You know, we was talking about the weather this morning, and they have changed it so many times in the last few days, you don't know what's going to happen. You're not even be listening to these weather people because they don't know what's going on, but God knows what's going on. God knows what's going on in your life because underneath are His everlasting arms. Underneath, God is taking care of us. He is watching over us. He says there's never been a time that He hasn't heard our cries. There's never been a time that He has took His eyes off of us. There's never been a time that He's removed His everlasting arms from underneath of us. So God is good. God is great. You know, we think about how great a God we serve. How great a God. How do you just want to stop and realize this morning how wonderful God is? How wonderful our Lord is and how good He is to us. He says, come all ye weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. If you're looking for rest, you're not going to find it in the world, only in the Lord. God can see what you can't see. God knows what you don't know. He knows the beginning from the end. God is all wise. God does not set wondering and scratching his head what in the world is going to happen next because he already knows. He knows our future. He knows the past. He knows the future. He knows what's going to come the next minute, the next second, the next hour because it's all in God's hands. It's mind-boggling to me how people, well, I know why, but it's mind-boggling to me that sometimes people get so out of whack and they get so distraught. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about things. We should. We should. We should be. But to worry yourself to death over things that God's got control over, if God's got control over it, why worry about it? Why be concerned, so concerned that, you know, people go out and shoot themselves and they commit suicide? You see this going on every day. People who are doing all these ungodly things because they're not trusting in the living God. Because underneath are His everlasting arms. There's none like Him. As Moses said, there is none like Him. His strength, God's wisdom is never exhausted. God's strength, He never grows weary. His strength is, He never gives out. He never gets tired. Somebody said, well, it says on the seventh day He rested, but He didn't rest because He was tired. He was finished with what He was doing at that time. He was through. So he quit. He didn't do it. He didn't make anything else. He rested. He never grows weary. He watches over us, supporting His people. Underneath are His everlasting arms. God is all wise. You think man has wisdom? They're just a little old dot. He says that we're as ants, I think, in one place in the Bible. Or it might be two places, I don't know. But He says we are as ants. He says we are but a speck. All nations are but a speck to God. That's how great our God is. I want to turn over, go a little bit further on over into the book of Psalms, which Moses and David, I believe, wrote. Listen to what David probably wrote this in Psalms, the 18th chapter, verse 1. See here, the psalmist David says, I will love thee. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. My strength. You see, he gives honor and glory to God. My strength. He is my strength. He is my strength this morning. He is your strength this morning. You can't even breathe without God giving you the breath to breathe. You know, he says that the rain fall upon the just and the unjust. He even causes the unjust to breathe. He gives them the breath of life. The Lord is my rock. He is my rock. He's solid. He don't change in mind. He don't change in heart. If God loves you, He still loves you in spite of what you are. He is my rock. You see, He is a rock to me, and my fortress, and my deliverer, and my God, and my strength. Whom will I trust? Who can I trust in? Oh, where can I go but to the Lord? This is what David's saying. Where can I go but to the Lord? I have many friends. I have God's people in the church. I have friends in a lot of the churches, and I have people who love me, and I'm thankful for that. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, I want God on my side. I know that you pray for me. I know you pray for my family, and I appreciate that. And there is power in prayer. But who are we praying to? We're praying to God. And it's God's power that heals us. Some people say, well, why would I even try to pray if prayer doesn't do anything? God already knows. I tell you why we pray, because it's obedience unto God. But He already knows you're going to pray. He already knows if you're going to be healed or not. If God is God, He knows all things. Right, Brother Dave? But it's the power of prayer. He says, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Yes, God hears our prayers. But you're not going to entice God. You're not going to change God's mind by prayer. He's already going to do what He's going to do. But the reason we pray is because it's the obedient thing to do in our life. God give us the word of prayer. You know, some people pray vain, it's vain words. God's people praise words of truth and praise because prayer comes down from God to us and goes back up to God from which it came. That's true prayer. When you get in your prayer closet, and we should do that every day of our life, just take time to pray and get in your prayer closet and see, you know, when you feel the essence of God in your prayer life and in your life, what a wonderful, there's no other place that I'd rather be in this life than being the essence of God's, being His essence. Be present with the Lord and feel His presence in my life. I want God to be my deliverer. There's nobody else I can depend on in my life because underneath are His everlasting arms. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my strength. In whom will I trust except the Lord God Almighty? He is my salvation and my high tower. There's nothing any more higher than God. You know, God can change. He can change anything that He wishes to change. That's in His power. He can reach behind what used to be the iron curtain and He can touch the people in that land. He can reach into the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa and touch those that are His, that are there. He can change, if He can change an old stony heart like mine once was, and He didn't even leave a scar. He changed us and made us anew to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because underneath are His everlasting arms. And then David goes on, he says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So shall I be saved from the evil things of this world. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Then over in chapter Psalms 34, chapter 34, verse 1. The psalmist David knows he serves a mighty God. I will bless the Lord at all times. Can we always do that? Can we always say, thank you, Lord, for your rich blessings, even in the time of trials and tribulations in our life? We should be able to if we love God. We need to fall down on our knees. I always say, Lord, and I have to run to Him many times a day. Lord, it's me again. And sometimes I wonder if He don't get tired of me running to Him, but He don't. But I had to call out to the Lord many times. Thousands upon thousands of times in my life I've had to call upon the Lord. He is my comforter. He answers prayer. He answered Paul's prayer when Paul had the thorns in the flesh. Paul had to pray three times. And when the third time came around, the Lord told Paul, He said, my grace is sufficient. He answered Paul's prayer. He said, my grace is sufficient. He may leave the thorns in your flesh. And a lot of times He does, just to remind us. I say sometimes I feel like a porcupine. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will praise Him in the time of troubles. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. No matter what comes upon you, praise the Lord. Look to Him because He is going to be the one that will comfort you. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, not in the world, not in man. My soul shall make her boast. I tell you, these people who are boasting in people in high authority, they got it wrong. They're boasting in the wrong people, and they need to be boasting in the Lord. The Lord is the one that we need to be crying out to. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Humble yourselves before a great and almighty God and cry out to Him and you'll be glad. You'll be glad. You'll be happy. I always said that's the only way you can be happy in life. If you got the Lord in your life and you're praising and honoring Him, hey, you can skip along. You can just go through life and skip along and say, thank you, Lord, for being my guide and my everything that they are in this life to me. You are first in my life. We are married to the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me out of all of my fears. Perfect love, the Bible says, perfect love, and that's the love of God, casteth out all fears. If you got any fears in your life this morning, if you only just put all you've got into loving the Lord, you'll get rid of those fears in your life. You know what brings fear back into our life? It's the devil. The devil brings fear back into our lives. Oh, you know, he's always telling us that, there's something bad going to happen. There's all these things going on in the world, and again, you know, we I'm not saying we need to be concerned about those things. We need to pray about them. But God has everything under control. Don't you worry. The outcome is going to be to the honor and glory of God, no matter what. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me out of all of my fears. You see what it says? I believe the Word of God. He delivered me out of all of my fears. When you bow down to a gracious and a merciful God and cry out to Him, He delivers you from your fears. Where can I go but to the Lord? They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Are you ashamed of the Lord this morning? Are you ashamed to say that I praise God this morning? If I had the tongue of angels this morning, I couldn't begin to tell you about the love of God and His presence with His people, and that we need to be crying out to Him. We need to be praising Him. This poor man cried out to the Lord. I cry out to Him daily. I need God's help in my life. He is all powerful. He has all the glory and honor. Give Him the glory and honor. And be saved out of all of His troubles. He comforts us in the time of troubles. The angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear Him and deliver them. You got angels watching over us. A lot of people says, I don't know if I believe in angels or not. Well, the Lord speaks of angels. He talks about angels watching over us, so I believe the Lord. There's angels, there's seraphims, and there's cherubims. Somebody says, you know, who all is now in heaven? Well, our spirits, those that have gone on to be of the Lord, the spirits of those dead and who have gone on to be of the Lord, they are in heaven. God is in heaven. Jesus Christ our Lord is in heaven. The Holy Spirit is in heaven. And the seraphim, the angels, and the cherubims. I don't know, there might be some more. I don't know, but they're all there with the Lord. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angels of the Lord encamped round about them. And then he goes on to say in the 8th verse, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. That trusteth. That's, you know, we're trusting in the Lord. God's people need to be trusting in the Lord, not in the things of the world. Now, I know that we need material things in order to live, but who gives us the material things in this life? God gives it to us. God owns it all. Everything that you have, God owns it. Everything that you ever will have, God owns it. It belongs to the Lord. So, in closing this morning, I want to just say, let's try to enter into the inner sanctuary. That's the closeness of God. Have a close relationship with God and realize that underneath are His everlasting arms. And His grace is upon us. And we can do all things through Jesus Christ our Lord. His presence is with us. To be able to see His power and His glory. To know God's love in our life. There is nothing else any better in life. The Lord has a table set for us. It is before us. And as we like natural food, we are to eat of the spiritual table of the Lord. The Word of God. We are to eat from this, what God's Word. We are to devour it up. Because it's good for us. It nutrients our spiritual soul. It nutrients even our bodies, I think. It's good for us. Everything on the Lord's table is nurture and love and the spiritual things that we need in life. There's a lot of miserable people in this world. who go through life not knowing how good the Lord is. They go through life and they don't realize anything about God. They don't realize that God is our Maker and our Keeper. And so this morning I hope and pray that I've said something that would be a benefit to you. And may God richly bless and keep you is my prayer. Someone have a song. What's that? Number 154. Let us stand and sing number 154.